just beautiful. And he is coming again. And he did send his Holy Spirit to help us right now, but he is coming again. He is coming again. I was thinking about that scripture in Revelation. The Bible says he will be coming on a white horse, wearing a vesture that has been dipped in blood. And on him is written the name, the Word of God. When he comes, he will come in the twinkling of an eye, and we which are alive and remain, the Bible says, will be caught up together with him in the clouds. That's where the word rapture comes from. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Aren't you glad for eternal life today through Jesus? And I think years ago, Aaron, didn't we make T-shirts that we gave to all the youth that said, "You can't touch this"? I think we need to make those again. Maybe make them for some of the adults. What do you think? Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Junior Talone, I looked over and I saw you this morning. I want you to know, you and your whole family, that the McDonald's love you, always have, always will. Our heart goes out. Junior lost his wife, kids, a mom, a grandmother, and we love you. And we thank God for you. And we thank God for eternal life that you know so well, and the life that you live and the testimony that your family sees and the ones around you. We rejoice in knowing that your wife is with Jesus today. Amen. Can we put our hands together again for eternal life through Jesus? I love you. This week, the Thanksgiving dinner that it's going to be different this year. We're not holding in-person dining. It's just takeout or delivery, and I don't know. I think we're over 450 right now, and we have because we couldn't take in, like we've done before, the donations because of the season that we're in. It's just everything is so different, but we are pivoting. And we are doing what we can do in this moment. And so our wonderful Brett Hall, he works for a company. We bought all the food through them. And I think we've had maybe $1,200, $1,300 that have been given towards that, which we're so grateful for. Leaves us with a little bit of a balance, maybe another $1,200, $1,500. If you're interested in just participating, I put a little video out on Friday. If you'd like to, you can go right on the push pay, and you can just click on other, and there's a space down there. You can just put in there Thanksgiving. We'd just be so thankful for that. I thought if we had 100 people that gave 20 or some could do more, we'd meet that need, and some have, but we still have a little deficit in that. But I know God, he meets all of our needs, right? And this is his idea, so he is going to be in it all the way. I want to pray for you, and then I want to just talk to you again this week out of James chapter 3. And I want to talk about, God, give me wisdom. I need wisdom. What is wisdom that comes from above? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the moment that we are in today, that you will give us wisdom from above. I thank you for your word, how it changes us and makes us into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. As well, for men and even some of the ladies, if you'd like to, at the end of the service today, this time of the year, we bring out all the Christmas decorations. So Miss Erin will be over in the corner. She'll be leading that charge. She's stronger than most men here today. Paulie said a big amen because he knows she's stronger than him. But she'll be directing, and if you just come over here, she'll show you. It's just a few boxes, but the more that could help, the easier the job will be. And should I mention Erin as well this week? If anybody wants to help, how they do that, just see Erin. She knows a lot. This is such an incredible season. Last night we were going to have Danny Gokey here earlier this year, just at the onset of the pandemic. He was supposed to go to Roberts Wesley, and he canceled. He called me, said, could we come to City Church? Absolutely. Then that day got moved, and he's going to come later in the year, and then that day got moved. And so he's been doing some things online where he's had these concerts, right, online. And so last night he had a second one. Patty and I watched it, and he's playing this beautiful Christmas music. And I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm watching it, and I've kind of chided Erin because she's been listening to Christmas music now since July. And I'm thinking, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. But I watched that last night. I sat there in the chair, and I was crying. Patty looks over, honey, what are you crying about now? I cry over everything. I said, it's just a message of Christmas. It's just so beautiful. And Thanksgiving, Christmas time, I know so many things are different. But you can't allow what is happening around you to get inside of you. You know, you could be in a boat, and you could be, you know, the Bible says Jesus was in a storm, and his disciples looked and said, aren't you worried? And he spoke to the winds and the waves to be still, and they were still. Storms come in your life, but they only have effect on you when they get inside of the boat. If you will keep your head lifted up and you will keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and keep the storm outside of your boat, you will make it through whatever it is that you are facing. And I just want to encourage you in the season that we're in, let's make sure we don't let the storm get in our lives, but we continually let Jesus be the author and the finisher of our faith. The one who is, who was, and is to come. He is for us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us, we shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord Most High. He is with us. And I want to talk to you this morning about getting wisdom, not from the world, but from God. And I want to read this again out of James. James chapter 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes, and it says this word, scattered among the nations. They were scattered because of persecution, and it was a difficult season, but they were also scattered geographically and emotionally. And I think about the time and in the season that we're in right now, how many, so many are scattered, and this thing has affected so many in so different ways. But James speaks to us in this. And these short five chapters communicates lessons to the people that needed it then, but also to us that need it right now. And he says this in James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Wisdom is so incredible to know. It's different than experience or intellect. It's different. And the Hebrew word for wisdom simply means skill in living. I've met people that have left school in the ninth grade that have so much wisdom. And then I've met people that have years of college education that they've got a lot of knowledge, but they got a zero in the wisdom column. They make decisions that are way off. And the next part of the verse explains it. He says this in James 3:13, let them show it by their good life. I love this. Listen to this. Let them show it by their good life, by the deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. You and I will experience good life when we operate in deeds for humanity that produce wisdom in our lives. And you will know the wise by them having a good life because of the deeds that they've done for humanity. And this goes against natural wisdom. Natural wisdom, let me tell you, will tell you to do everything different sometimes than what godly wisdom is telling you to do. Godly wisdom will tell you to do everything you can to feed humanity in the middle of a pandemic. When natural wisdom says, you better not, you better stay home, You better not engage in anything outside of the parameters of normal. But godly wisdom says that I'm going to cause you to be safe and secure and to be a blessing in the midst of a storm. And the Bible clearly says this. And I love how it says this. And listen to this. Not that when you gain wisdom and you have the good life, that you are better than others or that you have arrived because something good has happened in you or for you. But God works in and through you to make you better, not to make you better than anyone, but to make you better for everyone. Did you hear that? He works in you not to make you, I got this and I got this. No, that's not what he does. He makes you and I better so that you can be a blessing to everyone. God works in you for that. He doesn't make me better than everyone else. He makes me better for myself. I want to be better for me. And when I'm better for me, then I'm better for everyone around me. That I can be a blessing, that I can help. And this wisdom isn't just for your mind, but it has to be a part of your heart. And he says if it doesn't transform your heart, something else has an effect on us. He says in James chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such, look at the word, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and he throws this word in there, it's even demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. That is an amazing statement. And wisdom makes the difference in our lives. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if you lack wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given unto you. And I learned it in the King James Version. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto them. That word abradeth, a Greek word andezeo, it means that he doesn't judge you for who you are, and he doesn't pick his favorites to give wisdom to, that he gives it to whosoever will ask him at any time. If you lack wisdom, you can't just, flounder around saying, well, I don't know this and I can't do that. The Bible says, ask of him. And he will not only give you wisdom, the Bible says, he'll give you liberally. He abradeth not. He doesn't hold any back. He is a generous God that will be blessed by you asking, and he will bless you for asking. Man, I like that. But wisdom is a principal thing, the Bible says. The Bible says in James 3, 17 and 18, wisdom that comes down from heaven. Listen to this. First of all, and I'm going to go over these, is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And peacemakers who sow in peace shall reap a harvest of righteousness. How can I move in that direction? How can I have wisdom from above? Listen to this. Number one, it has to come. The wise wisdom comes from having a pure heart. And if you don't do this first, you won't have the rest of it. It's not a perfect heart, but the desire of our heart is, and our attitude is, that I want to do what's right. I want to be right. The wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. Titus 1:15 says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds are and consciences are corrupted. Jesus says this in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And there is always this examination that is happening in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit as to what we allow into our hearts and into our lives. What we hear, what we see, what we are around, because when it comes in, it has an effect on our heart, and it has a hindering effect from you and I receiving wisdom that comes from heaven. And if you are going to have God's wisdom, it cannot be continually challenged by the elements that contaminate our heart. My brothers and sisters, you have to put up a safeguard to what you allow in your heart. The Bible says to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And if we're going to have wisdom from heaven, it must first come from a clean heart. I was having a conversation with my grandkids the other night. We were talking about Snapchat. I don't have it. I looked at it one time. I just like, what is this about? And somebody said, when we were talking about Snapchat, you can have a conversation with anybody, and then in a few moments, it's gone. But I'm going to tell you where it's not gone from: your heart. It's not gone. And you can try to fool yourself and everyone around you. But what you bring into your heart is what makes you who you are. And the Bible says in James 4:8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Isn't that a great promise? Come close to God, and He will come close to you. You take one step towards Him, He takes two towards you. He says, wash your hands. My goodness, have we heard that enough? Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. You have to make a decision. How much of the world are you going to allow to be in your life? The Bible says next that the wise love peace, James 3:17, wisdom that comes from heaven is peace loving, not arguing, peace, not having to be right all the time. Peace. And you can't be wise and not love peace. James 1:20 says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Proverbs 14:29, a wise man controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. That's so good. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is a mark of good character to avert quarrels. But fools, they just love to pick a fight. Amen. You just need to let that simmer just a minute. It is not wise to argue and fight. And newsflash, conflict cannot continue without my participation. I've learned something, that every time I have conflict in my life, there's one common denominator. I'm in the middle of it. I'm a part of it. But it can't continue that if I make a decision, I'm not going to do that. You have to have peace in your heart and be a peacemaker in order for the wisdom of God to be a part of your life. Next, James 3:17 and 18, wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving and considerate. The Bible says that wise consider it. It's considerate. And you know what the word considerate means? I love this one translation that I saw. It simply means to consider it. Consider it. Wisdom says, I don't know everything, but I will and I can understand. Wisdom says, I might not agree with you, but I will hear you and I will consider it. Wisdom comes from learning how to consider something or someone else. Realizing that my way isn't the only way and another point of view can be considered. Paul, he's trying to settle a disagreement in Romans 15, 1, 2, and 3. He says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. Consider it. He says, we must not just please ourselves. We should help others. Do what is right. Build them up for the Lord. Even Christ didn't live to please himself. Wow. That is amazing. And haven't we seen it in our society? The opinions of people that if you don't agree with this, you are evil and you are wrong. And two people can be in the same room to have different opinions of something. And if they don't consider one another, there comes a clash. There comes a, just a headbutting. And an explosion is going to take place. But the Bible says that if you're going to have godly wisdom, you have to at least consider someone else above you at certain times in your life. And I love what John Maxwell says. He said, give your thoughts a break. You already think them. You know, sometimes we just think the way we think, that is the only way. Boom. And God wants you and I to go to another level in that. I'm not telling you to compromise, but I'm telling you sometimes from a different point of view. You know, the older I get, the more I realize that. You know, when you're younger, especially, you know, dads, leaders of any kind, you think, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it. But you find out that there's, you know, it might not, that way might not be, just because that's the way you think it is, that might not be the way it is. And as a dad, I've learned things at an older age that I used to be just so hardline on when I was younger, that I could see things in a different way now. I can operate. And my boys are far better dads at their age than I ever thought of being when I was their age. Consider it. Consider it. Next, James 3:17, wisdom that comes from heaven is submissive. The wise must be willing to yield. It doesn't mean, and I read this out of a commentary, it doesn't mean just being pliable, but it means not being stubborn. Being willing to listen and reason and to appeal. True wisdom is not rigid, but willing to listen. Almost the same thing. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. I know when I was putting this together this week, it was speaking to me in a large way. Sometimes I get a little stubborn in thinking things. Thank you that nobody amen me, in particular my family right now. My wife will amen me when I'm going home today. But you need to learn, you and I need to learn to be pliable and stop being so stubborn about some things. Come on, my brothers and sisters. Proverbs 12:15, the New Living says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. I want to ask you today, are you reasonable? Because that's part of wisdom in your own life and in mine. James 3:17 and 18, the wisdom that comes from heaven also is full of mercy and good fruit. The wise, they minimize the mistake of others. I could talk a lot about that. Wise are full of mercy. James 2:12 and 13 says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Look at this, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Did you read that? Can you see it up on the screen? Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has been merciful. Then he ends it up, he says, mercy triumphs over judgment. This is so true. And this isn't just with Christian people. This is with anyone. And what boggles my mind sometimes is that you get around people that have got just a parade of nonsense in their past, and they'll look at the speck that is in their brother's eye. And my brothers and sisters, that's not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom shows mercy. Godly wisdom shows grace. And I'd rather stand before God loving too much than stand before him because I judged too harshly. I want to be a lover. Our lives would be much better if we minimized the mistake of others and learn to love them like Jesus loved them. And I believe part of the grace and the mercy of my life is because my life, I am a wretch. I have made so many mistakes, but I have tried to master with my life to love people no matter where they come from, what they've done, or who they are. Because God doesn't look at people from where they were or even who they are. He looks at them for where he wants them to go. And when we love people like that, we open the door for them to step into a new life, into a new dimension, into a new place that they have never been in before. So I want to just ask you this. What do you need to stop bringing up all the time? What do you need to change? I want you just to think about that. Be a master at moving past the mistakes of others. And then James 3:17, 18, The wisdom that comes from heaven is impartial and sincere. The wise are authentic. Hear me now when I say this. Authentic people are not perfect people. Do I need to say that again? Authentic people are not perfect people. They just recognize that they got some things to work on. The Bible says in the King James Version, wisdom that comes from heaven is without partiality and without hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy, anupokretos, I'm no good at pronouncing these Greek words, but I think it's good to look at them and to know them because it comes from Greek theater where the actors, there wasn't enough to fill all the spots, and they'd use three or four masks to pretend that they were something other than who they really were. And I find it so interesting as I was studying this and I'm reading and I thought, this is something, God, that you would pull this out of this for me right now. It means pretending to be what you're not, acting always out of character, wearing a mask. I just thought that was interesting, but it's necessarily not a mask over your face as much as it is over your heart. And we need to be cautious and careful about that. We need to open up our heart not only to God, but sometimes you and I, we need to open it up to others. We need to get in a group sometimes and just, you know, where we live in a culture, you know, I am who I am and I'm not going to get involved in anything, and we carry all this stuff around in our lives. But the Bible says wisdom is impartial and sincere. It is without hypocrisy. It takes the mask off of our heart and our life, and it says, here I am. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? Will you just stand with me? And can I tell you something? When you find a people that when you tell them something about your life, and they come around you, and they put their arms around you, and they love you, and they don't criticize you and judge you for it because they're dealing with something maybe not just the same as you are, but they got something else, and you find out that you need that koinonia, that fellowship, that synergism with one another. It sets you free. It liberates you to be something that God has created you to be that you never knew you could be. Come on. And all of this comes down. Debbie, come on up. When we are wise, he ends it up in verse 18. He says, peacemakers sow in peace, and they reap a harvest of righteousness. There's a purpose for gaining wisdom, even in the season that you and I are in right now. We need wisdom from above. The word peace here means a state of tranquility, exempt from the rage and the havoc of war that is around you. Wow. That is so pertinent, isn't it, though? We need that peace, and it comes from knowing and experiencing and living in the wisdom that God wants for your life and for mine. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you, first of all, to have that God will give you that pure heart. You have to have that. You have to open your life up to Him. You have to open your heart up to Him. Let Him cleanse you and let Him show you His love. Maybe today you're here today and your heart, maybe you're watching online, your heart is full of that anger and animosity, and you have resentment. You're just struggling with something in your life. God wants to free you of that today. You need to open up your life to Him. I want to pray for you. Would you just close your eyes and bow your head? And then maybe you're watching, or maybe you're here today. You've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you did it one time. Maybe you just kind of set Him up on the shelf. You're not as passionate about him as you used to be. You have no desire for his word or for his house or his people. It's become kind of, yeah, if it fits in, I'll do it. But Jesus says, the first step with wisdom is a pure heart. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed today. I just want to present to you today that if you've never given your life to him, you can do that right now. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior, be my Lord. For some of you that have just set him off, he's been second, third, fifth, tenth choice. You've put all these other things in front of him. Your own selfish desire. Your own wants, your own needs. I want what I want when I want it. And God is just saying that if you'll surrender your life to me, I'll give you exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or you can even think. I'll meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll fulfill the longing, the emptiness. I'll help you with the fear, the storm, the trouble, the loss, the pain, the feeling of insignificance. He said, I'll help you with that. I'll be your God. And you can be my people. Spirit of the living God today. On every life, those that are here, those that are watching, I pray first off that they would make you the Lord and the Savior of their life. They would surrender everything to you and live a life uncompromised by the influences of the world, but full of the Holy Spirit and his leading and his power. Lord, some were coming to you today. We ask you to cleanse us and forgive us and make us brand new. We ask you, Lord, for this wisdom that we can know how to move and navigate through the season that we are in. I give you thanks for it, and I give you all the praise for it. I pray this over every one of you, those that are watching online as well. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, do you love Jesus today? Come on, do you love him with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind? Come on, let's give him a good praise in his house today. Yeah. He's worthy. If you or you know of someone that is looking for Thanksgiving dinner this week, there's a phone number on our Facebook page. You can text that. You can call the church at 343-6895. Again, I want to say thank you so much to everyone. You've been faithful in your giving. Thank you so much. If any of you want to participate in the giving for Thanksgiving, you can go. You can text the word The City Church NY to 77977. It'll bring up something on your screen, and it'll lead you how to do that. There's two boxes in the back of the church today. If you want to use an envelope, you can deposit it there. You can go online to thecitychurch.com. Go in his grace today. I pray you have an incredible Thanksgiving. I almost said Christmas, but we're going to have a great Christmas too, right? Come on. With saying that, if you're a man or a strong woman, would you meet Erin over here at the door, and she'll direct you, and you could help bring out the Christmas decorations. I love you. God bless you so much.